Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Very pleased to welcome the new man on the college baseball beat, Jacob Rudner, covers college baseball for Baseball America. Stepping into some big shoes there. We loved Teddy Cahill, so hopefully we'll have you around for a long time. I don't like change, Jacob. I don't do well with it. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks for joining us here for your first time here on the podcast. Mississippi State baseball, 18th in the Baseball America poll. I feel like you can make a really strong case to rank them higher. I feel like you can make a really strong case not to rank them at all. And so you sort of end up there in the middle at 18. What's the ceiling for this team as you see it, and what's the floor?
Well, listen, I think that you put it perfectly. I see Mississippi State as a team that you could kind of argue in both directions. They have a lot of talent on this roster, but there's a lot to make up for in terms of what they lost, and that's especially the case on the pitching side, where 73% of the group from last year in terms of innings contribution is no longer a part of the program, and they've moved on. So I see Mississippi State as a group that has all the pieces together to be able to make a run and push back to Omaha the way its fans expect it to, and the way Coach Lemonis expects them to. But I also see a lot of room for needing to prove themselves. They do need some guys to step up that either haven't before or haven't at Mississippi State before. Remember, we're in an era now where a lot of contributions are going to have to come from guys who are incoming transfer talent. That is especially the case at a place like Mississippi State this year. And I think that we will probably see that. It's a talented group, but there are certainly questions.
When you think about the SEC as a whole, you know, I feel like Mississippi State is kind of right in the middle of those teams. I don't think they're on the same level as a Tennessee right now or Texas A&M is right this second, but they're certainly good enough to go out and beat those teams in a series. When you think about this SEC, you know, where does Mississippi State kind of fit in for you?
Yeah, listen, so you look over the Baseball America rankings, we have 10 SEC teams in the top 25 right now. So the conference is loaded, and I think Mississippi State, it falls in the middle of that mix somewhere. The top four schools all come from the SEC. That's Texas A&M, Tennessee, LSU, and Arkansas. Florida is right outside the top five. Mississippi State, to me, has the potential, the caliber of talent to climb into that top group. Right now, though, you look through the rankings and we do have them, you know, in that 8, 9, 10 in the conference range. And so that's not a knock, in my opinion. It just speaks to the talent of the conference. I view all of those teams, obviously, as tournament caliber. But certainly, you know, to me, it's a middle of the pack squad right now.
What's really fascinating about State this year is when you look at the SEC teams that are ranked ahead of them, they don't play A&M, they don't play Tennessee, they don't play Arkansas, they don't play Georgia, they don't play Vanderbilt. They do have to play Florida and LSU. But from a scheduling standpoint, Jacob, this feels like as good as you could possibly ask for from being in the SEC. This is a schedule that when you look at the non-conference, there's not a huge non-conference series or game in there. This is a schedule that's designed to win big for Mississippi State, isn't it?
Well, listen, I think that not only is it a schedule that's designed to win big, but it's quite favorable for a team that, like we just talked about, does have some questions on the pitching side. They do need to see guys step up. There's been a lot of change relative to what they had last year on the staff. And so this is the kind of schedule, I think, that allows certain guys to acclimate into new roles and kind of grow and see the team be successful. So, yeah, I certainly agree with that.
Let's hit on a couple of the teams that State is going to play in conference, and we'll start with LSU. National champions two seasons ago, took a little bit of a drop off, but I think you're gonna do that when you lose the number one and number two overall picks in the draft. It's difficult for anybody to reload from that. Looks like they're back up there amongst the nation's elite. What do you like about that Tiger team?
Listen, I think that if you want to look at the standard in terms of how to operate in the transfer portal, Jay Johnson is the perfect example. This is a guy who has absolutely dominated transfer talent. You just mentioned Paul Skeens, who has already gone on to have great success in the major leagues. That's a transfer talent. This year, we rated them as having the number one transfer class. A significant chunk of that rotation and starting lineup came from other schools. That's Daniel Dickinson, Anthony Ianson, Jacob Myers, another guy who I'm pretty bullish on going into the season. And there are more. I view that as a team that is extremely talented, but I will say, things do need to go right. Last year was not the most impressive season for the Tigers overall. They did not live up to their standards. Jay Johnson would tell you that, but I think they do have the talent in place, mostly via the portal, to be able to bounce back quickly.
Then you have the Florida Gators, who've been one of the most consistent programs in the country over basically the last decade. They had a little bit of a downturn there right after they won their national title, but now back to getting to Omaha basically every year. They come to Starkville for a huge series in the middle of April. What about this Gators team? What do you think about what Kevin O'Sullivan has going in Gainesville this year?
Yeah, that's an interesting squad to me. Last year was not a terribly impressive year until they got to the postseason. They became normal Florida once the tournament started, but prior to that, not such a great season. And that was especially the case on the pitching side, where they ranked at the bottom of the conference in staff ERA. That was a very inexperienced staff. A lot of underclassmen contributors. I think the thing that Florida did best this offseason was bring a lot of those guys back. They had a lot of good stuff. I think that the pitchability of that staff was solid. And now they have guys who have seen it and experienced it at a very high level who can come back in and kind of continue to grow into their roles. And then they also did a very good job in the transfer portal. Bobby Bozer from South Florida came in, Kyle Jones, the center fielder from Stetson. And there are others. So the mixture of returning talent and experience on the mound, plus an infusion of transfer talent at the plate, I think is a benefit to Florida's roster.
One more SEC team ranked ahead of Mississippi State, and I didn't hit on them because, I guess I had that brain fart of, oh, yeah, they're in the SEC now, or the Texas Longhorns. That's actually State's opening SEC series. Texas will come to Duty Noble Field. What about the Longhorns? The last time State saw them, obviously, was in Omaha a few years back.
Well, the last time State saw them, they didn't have Jim Schlossnagel at
That's
the helm
true.
either. So,
No, they did not.
that was the biggest move of the offseason when Texas went out and stole Schlossnagel from rival Texas A&M. Obviously, he brings winning pedigree into the building. But that's also a very solid roster. They brought back some solid talent, Max Bellew, Jalen Flores, the shortstop. Both are back in the fold. Jim Schlossnagel told me directly those were guys who were priorities. He said that for that team to win in his first season in Austin, he needed them back, and that happened. They also did a pretty good job in the transfer portal. Jared Spencer from Indiana State is an encouraging lefty. I think that he's going to be able to kind of front that rotation and do a good job for them. I'm encouraged by what they have in terms of players. I'm more encouraged by what they have at the head coaching position.
And what does it say about the talent level at Texas A&M that they can lose a coach the caliber of Jim Schlossnagel, and yet they seem to be a pretty much undisputed number one? Is this by far the best team in college baseball this year?
I think so. I mean, you look across the diamond for them, and it's just so impressive. You have the preseason player of the year in Jayslav Ouellette. You have the reigning SEC freshman of the year, Gavin Grahovic, excuse me. You have Ryan Prager, the left-handed starter, who I firmly believe to be one of the best starting pitchers in college baseball this season. That is an experienced group. They also brought in one of the top transfer classes in the country, so it's not like you're just talking about returning talent. There are new faces in there as well who become immediate contributors, and that's the case in their rotation. That's going to be the case in their lineup. I just view that as a team that has everything going for it. And I'll tell you, Michael Early, their new head coach, might not be the most experienced. This is his first head coaching job. It's only his second job in terms of schools he's worked at. I still view Michael Early, however, as a good leader, somebody who's going to be able to kind of pick up where the school left off because his players respect him. And if you ask people around the coaching industry, they'll tell you he was one of the most head coaching ready people, in the nation after last season.
When you think about the SEC over the last few years, you've seen these first-time national champions, Mississippi State in 21, then Ole Miss in 22, last year with Tennessee, A&M probably the favorite this year. Is it ever going to happen for Arkansas?
Listen, I think Arkansas is an interesting case because Arkansas is arguably the best college pitching school in the country about 3 years running right now.
I won't argue.
And they don't necessarily match that caliber at the plate. And that was certainly the case last year when you have Hagen Smith, I would say the best pitcher in the country. They lead the SEC in strikeouts per 9 innings. It was a nasty staff. They couldn't really get it done at the plate. I think that this year's roster is a little bit better suited in that category. I think that they should be able to score more runs. The pitching staff is loaded once again, but the question continues to be, will they match their pitching production with offensive production? And I think that that will be something that, kind of persists in terms of questions going into the year for sure.
So 10 SEC teams ranked in your top 25. Of the six that are unranked, who's somebody that could surprise and make a run in the postseason?
I immediately lean towards Oklahoma, and the reason for that is because of their pitching rotation. I am pretty bullish on the twin duo of Kyson and Malachi Witherspoon, guys who I just find to be mature, starting pitchers. Kyson especially is somebody who I think is a first-round caliber draft pick. He's got three real pitches. Whether or not they're going to hit, it's kind of a similar situation to Arkansas at a lower caliber. They bring back only one player who hit more than 10 home runs last year. It's not necessarily the most encouraging group offensively on paper. I do see guys, though, who have breakout potential on that lineup, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them break into our rankings at some point this season.
We'll sit on the two in-state teams before we get you out of here. Let's start with Ole Miss. You know, even with their national championship here, that was not a great regular season for the Rebels. They got hot at the right time. Now back-to-back last place finishes in the conference. What about this Rebel team? Are they going to get back into the postseason, or are we going to see a coaching change in Oxford at the end of this year?
Listen, I think that Ole Miss is kind of in a precarious situation. They lost a reasonably considerable amount of talent this past offseason. Andrew Fisher immediately comes to mind. Liam Doyle is another guy who, you know, I view those two players as would-be key cogs had they stayed. I mean, a rotation leader and certainly an offensive lineup leader no longer on the team. It puts you in a really difficult spot to improve upon a season in which, like you just said, they weren't very impressive in the first place. And so I think Ole Miss is in a really challenging position right now. Do I think that that's the kind of team that could surprise people? Certainly, we've seen it before. They did it in the year that they won the national championship. But it's hard for me right now before the season to look at that roster and say things are on the up and it's going to be much better right now.
There may not be a more consistent team in the country and certainly in this state than Southern Mississippi. Not ranked in your poll and most other polls for some reason. Why aren't the Golden Eagles a top 25 team in your mind?
So I actually, it's funny you asked that. I just wrote about my 10 teams that missed the top 25. And if I had to name three that were the absolute closest, and I mean we really debated their candidacy, it would be TCU, Troy, and Southern Miss. I think that those teams were right there. The biggest thing for me with Southern Miss is that they just need some guys to step up in the rotation. They lost some talent from last season that was really critical to them. They did bring back a lot, and especially so at the plate. I think that that's a team that could, you know, not even necessarily surprise. We know that Chris Ostrander does a fantastic job with that team, and I do think that they're going to win a whole bunch of games. But going into the season with questions on the mound, we felt as though it was the best to leave them out and let them prove themselves to get their way in rather than open the season in the rankings without, you know, some key guys, rotation members on the roster.
Something tells me they will not be out of your poll for very long. That's just too good a program and too consistent. Jacob, really appreciate you. As I told you before we started the interview, you know, we're baseball crazy here in the state of Mississippi. So looking forward to talking to you again some point this season and probably seeing you at Diddy Noble Field. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.